Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, folks, I don't know what it's like where you are, but I remember back in the days when we used to watch television and the television show didn't come on and they would flash up on the screen, technical difficulties. Please stand by. Well, that's CoachDaveLive.com today. Technical difficulties. We're not sure whether it's on our end, whether it's on the Google end, wherever it is. But the truth of the matter is we cannot get Google Hangout to load. So I don't know anybody who's listening anywhere. We'll just try to produce a show here the best we can, Jared and I. You can watch it if you want to spread the word. Maybe you want to Facebook or email, text somebody, whatever. Tell anybody who wants to watch it that they have to go to the website. CoachDaveLive.com is where the show can be found. Had a great show lined up. I still have a great show lined up, but I have to, I just like going back to my old terrestrial radio days when it was just me and didn't have any audience out there and didn't even know if anybody was really listening today or not, except for the call-in number. We always had a call-in number where you could call in and tell us what you thought, but I've lost a little bit of that skill because Google Hangouts with the video capability is just so much different. So thanks for being with us today. We're going to produce the best show that we possibly can. I'm not sure that it'll be an hour, but we'll see exactly what happens. First of all, I want to mention right off the bat that you don't want to miss David Arthur's show today. Now, you said, well, Coach, how can David Arthur have a show if you don't have a show? Well, we use a different form of Google Meet. Listen, I'm no techie, okay? We have a different form of Google Meet than what David uses. We have one that has capability of over 50 people to join us. David has one. He's using an older version where maybe 10 people. I think, David, I can't remember exactly how it is. But we're not using the same version. So when Jared tried to log on this morning, get everybody into the queue and all that, Google, our version of it, would not load up. Just wouldn't do it. And then Jared didn't have time to make the switch around back to the old one. So we're doing this on Skype, and we are streaming it live on our website. But as I started to say before, my stream of consciousness took me in another direction. Most of you know that David Arthur yesterday went in to have a double hernia surgery, or not double hernia, but possibly a double hernia surgery, not lower hernia, but upper in his chest area, and just below his vertebrae. That's crazy. My brain used to work just below his sternum. And when they got there, I'm not going to give away the miracle story, but you want to hear David Arthur coming up at 9 o'clock today. It's an amazing story. So it prompted me today, by the way, to write a commentary entitled "Do You Believe in Miracles?" But I'm going to get back to that. So again, David Arthur's coming up at 9 o'clock. Make sure that you catch him because it is. Do you believe in miracles? Issue number two. Again, I miss all those faces. Hi, George. He's not there. I miss Roger. Miss seeing all you guys in here today. I see Jared. That's the only one. Hey, Jared, I'm looking at my screen. Why is my picture real tiny and yours is real big? Doesn't matter, but I think I'm a lot more handsome than you, and I'm just okay. Make sure we're okay there. Listen, we're trying to, as most of you know, we're trying to expand our reach here. And I announced a couple weeks ago that we were moving to GCN, the Genesis Communication Network, and going to go on some terrestrial radio stations. And I got a couple comments in the last few days. Hey, Coach, when are you starting that? And all that kind of stuff. Well, we are still in limbo on that. Some of it on their end, much of it on our end. We have some issues that we have to try to figure out and see if it is the most wise thing to do at this time or how we can best expand the show. And as those of you who listen to the show regularly know, I'm not about a big audience. I'm not trying to build a mega church. I want to build mega impact. And I want to try to figure out in today's culture and today's society, where is the best place to put our dollars in order to expand our reach. So for those of you who wondered, we are in communication with them, and we want to make sure that that expansion onto the Genesis Communication Network is something that's really going to be what we want it to do. As you know, guys, I was having a discussion with Mike. My phone's probably going to go off 1,000 times a day. People trying to find it. Hey, Coach, where's the show? Yep. Hang on. Go to website. And no hangout today. No hangout. Today. Okay, great. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be doing that. I'll have to be doing that a million times today. Just lost my train of thought. I was thinking about America and where we are today and our plans for the future. And I don't know if Jared, you don't have to throw this up on the screen because Jared, it's just a different show today. Proverbs 28, verse 19, 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, 18 says this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I grabbed my trusty little Strong's Concordance. I'm looking for something else here. I'm sorry. I grabbed my trusty little Strong's Concordance, and I went to Proverbs 29:18 on my Strong's Concordance. Because, you know, you hear that word, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We think that means die. We think that means what? To perish means to waste away. And, you know, is that true? Because I know people that are doing a lot of things and don't seem to have a lot of vision, and they're not really wasting away. So I went to Strong's Concordance and I looked up the word perish. Listen to this. Hang on a second. Is there any vision in the church anymore? Does the church really even know where it's gone? Does American Christianity really have a vision? Or is our American Christianity today, Jared, website has bad echo. Go to YouTube. Folks, I don't know if you can hear that. Go to YouTube. You can find it at YouTube as well this morning. Thanks for that note there. Perish, where there is no vision. What are you saying, Coach? I was thinking about this today as I was preparing show prep. Actually, I had an entirely different show planned until we had the technical issues. I was thinking about the lack of vision within the American church. If we were to be honest, our vision is what? What's the vision of the American Christian church? Get raptured out? If we were to map out a 500-year game plan. Better question yet. Do we have a 500-year game plan for the church? Do we have a 100-year game plan? Those of you who are pastoring churches, do you have a vision beyond just your little church? Jesus told us to go into all the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. That sounds like a long time, doesn't it? Is it possible that we have bought into a delusion that we are at the end of the age? It's like food storage. When people call me and ask me, or I talk to somebody, or I read blogs or do whatever about food storage, people say, well, how much? How long? How much food should I prepare for? And how long? Well, there it is, isn't it? We don't know how long, right? We don't know how long a disaster would last. We don't know how long an economic calamity would last. And can I be honest with you? We don't have any idea how long the world's going to last. It's extremely presumptuous of us to think that we are 10 years away from not being here anymore. And because we have bought the idea that we're 10 years away from the world burning up into a heap, fiery, whatever, ball. 10 years away, doesn't make much sense to have plans for the future, does it? And if we really believe that the earth was about to, that the end of the world was coming in 10 years, why would you go get a college education? Why wouldn't you eat everything you could eat? Why wouldn't you get fat? Why wouldn't you stop exercising? Why wouldn't you stop taking all of your medications? If you really believed that the end of the world was coming, because you know what? We don't really believe that, do we? Now, we say we do. We love to say all the signs that we do. But the truth is we don't really. Our actions do not match our belief. So I went to Proverbs 29:18 today, and I asked that question. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And as I like to do, this is so distracting. Go to website. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I went to the Strong's Concordance then, and I looked up the word perish. And I didn't find what I thought I was going to find. Here's what Strong's Concordance says. Perish means to lead, act as a leader. What? Yes. To let go, let loose, ignore, let alone. To let go, to loose. Where there is no vision, the people let it go. You ever been driving into a neighborhood, in a poor neighborhood, and see some of the rundown houses and say, man, they haven't done very much upkeep on their house. It's run down. Folks, that's the picture you get where there is no vision. The people let things run down. Or another version of it is, where there is no vision, the people lose all restraint. So I've said before, it's a picture of a wild stallion running through a field, back and forth, here and there, to and fro. Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no vision, you're just running around, as they say here in Hebron, Ohio, like a chicken with its head cut off. As we sit here today on National Day of Prayer, by the way, I'm speaking today at 11:30 in St. Clairsville, Ohio, at the National Day of Prayer. If you're anyway out in that area, come and join us. There's no vision in the church. There's no vision. There's no long-term vision in the church. See, we have it almost backwards, right? We're perishing because there is no vision. I was out last night. Wednesday night is my golf league night. And I started, I know some of you go to church. I go out, play golf on Wednesday nights with the heathen. That's what they are. I call it the pirate golf league because they're all lost. For the most part, they're all lost. That amazing thing happened last night, Jared. I'll just talk to you since it's just kind of, all I can see is just me and you here. All the guys in the golf league last night, not all of them, there's probably 60 some guys. I didn't talk to every one of them, but most of them had seen my video at Lakewood High School, out in front of Lakewood High School. And they all came up and all had something to say. And I saw something that, again last night that is just absolutely amazing. Every one of these pirate league guys that I talked to last night, there wasn't one of them who thought a cross-dresser should be teaching children. Not a one. These guys are not, these are not godly people. These are not church-going people. These are pirate leaguers. And every one of them thought it was wrong for a cross-dresser to be teaching young kids. So they still have a moral base there. And then I said to them, the tough question then, okay, what are you going to do about it? They had no response. They said, well, you know, coach, it's just the way things are in America today. I said, oh, really? Is that the way things are supposed to remain? Just because it's the way they are, we're supposed to remain like that? Would it make you mad if some cross-dresser came in and started teaching, introducing transgenderism cross-dressing to your freshman son? Would that tick you off? Hell yeah, yeah, that'd tick me off. Well, they're doing it. Why is it? Well, yeah, see, they have no long-term vision. They have no really. We have lost the grounding of truth in America. There is no such thing as truth. And it's happened because why? Where there is no vision, the people perish. The church has lost its ability to project, what's the word I'm looking for? Generationally. It's all about me, my, I, us. And so the message coming out of the church is, go for all the gusto you can. Tune in, turn on, drop out, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. And along with that attitude doesn't come any long-term vision for your life. Michelle laughed at me last week when we went away on our three-day getaway that I had to mow the yard before I left. She says, well, why are you doing that? It doesn't really need mowed. I said, I know, but it will when we get back. It'll be really high when we get back. So I have to mow it today. See, that's vision. That's long-term vision. That's looking and seeing where we're heading and what's going to happen if we don't do something about it. So I came down to the studio this morning, looked out the window down here where the studio is, and out here I have a wet area in our yard, and that grass is really, really high. And how am I going to cut it? Well, I'm going to have to figure out a way to cut it because I lost the vision of that. I didn't take care of that, and now it's become more of a problem. Now, I could just never cut it again and bale it at the end of the summer, but that's not what we're supposed to do. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Say, Coach, why are you hammering on this so much? Because I think it's critical. It's critical for us to understand that the condition that we're in today, two reasons why. Reason number one, we don't have any vision. Because we don't have any vision, we're without restraint. So what does it matter? And the second reason is we don't have any confidence or any belief that God will do what he says he'll do. I'm going to pull up a commentary that I wrote today, Jared. I don't know if we can pull that up on screen. I don't even know what you're dealing with there, Jared. Probably if you can pull it up there. I want to. This is what. Okay, get it so they can see it. That would be good, Jared. By the way, if you are able to listen right now, just text everybody or email your friends. Say, what happened to Coach's show? Let them know that we're streaming on YouTube and on our website. Although, did you get rid of care of that echo, you think, Jared? I don't know. They just said there was a bad echo. Okay. So just let everyone know that. So I wrote my commentary today, and the commentary was entitled, Do You Believe in Miracles? I wrote this after I had a conversation with David Arthur yesterday, after his miracle, which, again, tune into the show today so you can hear it. As I was sitting down, funny, my wife could attest to this because I said, I'm having a hard time trying to figure out what to write about today. And after a 2-minute conversation with David Arthur, I had it. Because David told me, as again, if you catch his show today, you'll hear the miracle that occurred in David Arthur's life. But yet, how do I say this? I remain skeptical. Right? I say, well, yeah. I didn't say this. This is where the natural mind takes you. Say, well, yeah, but there's something else going on here. Maybe the CAT scan didn't work. Maybe the doctors made a mistake. We naturally, Serge has got it. Thanks, Serge. We naturally began to question. See, I'll get to it in the commentary here in a second. I called it reverse cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is not believing what you see, right? And when David Arthur on the phone tells me his miracle, I don't want to believe it. So there's got to be another reason. And it prompted me to write this commentary, Do You Believe in Miracles? For all of us today. Again, folks, those of you listening right now, we're having some Google Hangout issues. We don't know whether it's on our end or their end, but we're not able to do our regular show there. We're doing it over Skype. That's why you're seeing it on YouTube and you're seeing it at CoachDaveLive.com. Sorry that we don't have the interaction we normally have. And bear with me because I'm flying by the seat of my pants because I had another show prepared. And when we weren't able to do the hangout, it kind of shifted gears on us. So on newswithhughes.com today, I wrote, "Do you believe in miracles?" That's the title of it. Whatever happened to the supernatural? Why is it that in the day in which we live, we see so little of the miraculous? Is it because there is no God? Or is it because there is so little faith? I want to believe in miracles, don't you? I want to believe in the miraculous hand of God, don't you? I want to believe that the supernatural is still available and at our fingertips. How about you, Serge? You want to believe that? Could it be that there are so few miraculous healings because there are so few of us who really believe God is still alive? Is it possible that even those of us who believe in God still have a hard time convincing ourselves that he is still in the miracle working business? Would he even be God if he didn't do the miraculous? In the past week, I've seen the miraculous hand of God move. Pardon me for not looking at the camera. I'm reading it on my computer here. In the past weeks, I've had seen the miraculous hand of God move, yet even after it occurred, it was still hard for me to give credit where credit was due. In each case, I knew what I was seeing was more than a coincidence. Impossible, actually. But we have become so jaded that we have lost the ability to believe. It is actually cognitive dissonance in reverse. As I said, cognitive dissonance is common in the world. It's the inability to believe what your eyes see. Wow. For instance, believing you can smoke cigarettes and not have it affect you is a perfect example of disbelieving what all of the evidence proves. Failure to believe in miracles is the same thing. When something happens that we cannot explain, we simply write it off as a coincidence or a strange happening rather than actually recognizing it as the miracle that has taken place. Catch David Arthur's show today. He's going to talk to you about a miracle that took place. Don't you want to believe in miracles? Don't we pray for miracles? Don't we petition the Lord with prayers for him to move in the midst of our situation? Aren't we grateful when things all work out? Why don't we see that as a miracle of God? Has God gotten out of the miracle working business? No. The problem is that we've gotten out of the miracle believing business. American Christianity has become so faithless. The entire ministry of Jesus on earth was loaded with miracles. He went around healing the sick, raising the dead, and encouraging his followers to do the same. Wherever Jesus went, miracles followed. So why does the church no longer believe in them? Why is the healing of the sick not an everyday occurrence? Is it because Jesus has lost his power? Or is it that we have lost our ability to believe? Why has the miraculous become rare in American church today? It's a great question, isn't it, fellas? Huh? What would happen in the church where you go to church if somebody jumped out of a wheelchair? What would be the reaction of the church? They would be shocked, would they not? Well, when Jesus was about to leave the earth to return to his Father, he charged his followers in Mark 16, verses 16 through 17 by saying, "Are you sitting down? Are y'all sitting down?" Because here's what Jesus said to his followers, which includes me and you and George and Serge and Roger and Gary and Vinny and every. This is all. Here's what he said. "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name." Wow. "They shall cast out devils." When's the last time you did that? "They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Not might, Now, might recover. Might hope recover. Hope they recover. Might pray they recover. Jesus said, you do these things. These are the signs. These are how people are going to know you're a believer. I'm going to read it again. And these signs shall, not maybe, these signs shall follow them that believe. Man, oh man. These are more than mere exhortations, as I return to my commentary, to his followers. They were pseudo-commands. They were evidence of what a follower of Jesus would look like. Cast out devils? What? Lay hands on the sick? What? See them recover? Huh? Everyday, miraculous sort of stuff. Folks, that's what Jesus said we would do. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Why don't we see it today? Why is there no power in the American church? Why are we building more hospitals and closing more churches? Why is the miraculous no longer commonplace? You sitting down? Another place in the scripture, John 14:12, Jesus told his followers this. Verily, verily, he had to say it twice. Truly, truly. It's like emphasis. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So Jesus didn't just say we had the power to do these. He said, you dudes are going to go above and beyond. Why? Because he who is with you is now going to be in you. The Holy Spirit's going to be in you. And you are going to turn the world upside down because of the power that is within you. Because all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Go ye and do greater works in me. Boy, I love the dialogue. Anybody want to argue with me on that? Huh? Anybody want to tell me what Jesus really meant there? Because we certainly aren't seeing this today in the American church. We're not seeing it anywhere, right? So let me ask you, commentary continuing, was Jesus a liar? What would it be like if when you were a little kid, your parents told you that there were going to be Christmas trees, Christmas presents under the tree on Christmas morning? He got up and there weren't any presents. So what's this? What's going on here? Well, Jesus promised us a present. Greater work shall you do. I'm going to go to my dad, and because I go to him, you're going to do greater stuff than I did. What did I do? I laid hands on the sick and I saw him recover. Cast out devils. I did all that kind of stuff. You're going to do stuff you're going to do is going to be even greater than that. So was Jesus a liar? Is the church showing these greater works that Jesus was referring to? Is the age of miracles over? Has Jesus broken his promise? Why does the miraculous seem so rare? If God can no longer work miracles, is he really God? Turn on your television. The rise in the occult is astonishing. For those of you, as Rush would say, in Rio Linda, occult means the dark side, the demonic side. Those demons that Jesus said we were cast out, that's the side that we're talking about here. The occult is, the rise in it is astonishing. The supernatural is everywhere we look. But most of the supernatural that the citizenry is observing is coming from the dark side. See, we're seeing the supernatural from the devil's point of view. We're not seeing the supernatural from God's point of view. Something is seriously upside down. The church, supposedly full of believers, empowered by the Holy Spirit, are shaking powerlessly inside the stained glass fortresses. There is no power in the church, folks. Something's wrong. So Jesus confronted the dark side. He pointed out to his disciples the impact of evil. And he explained to us how to successfully battle against those forces. Walk into any church, and you'll hear sermons on how to get victory over those forces. Yet, there's virtually no follow-through. It's just words. It's just blather. It's just full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. It is empty faith, empty belief. It's yakking and not doing. If we believe the power of a risen Christ to heal the sick, why is it not happening? The visible church is oblivious to the spiritual battle raging all around them. While the pagans and the occultists are becoming bolder every day, openly casting spells and launching a frontal assault on all things righteous, Christians are too dumbed down to unleash the power that Christ made available to them. We don't even know we have the power. You understand that casting a spell, this isn't in the commentary, but casting the spell, that's really nothing more than praying to the devil, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I'm about done. Jesus told us that he would build a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that he builds. He left us with supernatural power to win a supernatural war. Why does the church seem so powerless against the forces of darkness? The church, and I put that in quotation marks, the church is unbelieving, and our lack of faith has made the miraculous rare. Things will never change in this nation until the church believes it can. God is waiting for his true church to arise. Will you step out in faith? Will you fight when things seem impossible? Do you really believe that with God all things are possible? You move. God moves. Do you believe in miracles? So, folks, I wrote that today on the National Day of Prayer. Because the National Day of Prayers, I said I'm speaking in St. Clairsville, Ohio, over at Wheeling, West Virginia, right next to Wheeling, West Virginia. And all across America, there are going to be National Days of Prayer going on. And everybody talks about the power of prayer. I wonder how many of us who are going to gather today all across this land and pray to the Lord. I wonder, number one, how many of us really believe that he can do it? Number two, really believe that he will do it? And number three, have any idea what it is we want him to do? It's like a I have at our home, and I, Michelle and I have a little candy dish. That when the grandkids come down every day, or whenever they get to come down, they always come in and I say, "Hey, you need a grampy pill." And a grampy pill is a piece of candy. And so I say, "What kind do you want?" And they just look at me. And then I say, "Okay," and then I pull them up and I let them look in the candy dish and they pick the candy that they want. Say, "Coach, what are you saying?" I'm saying this. On the National Day of Prayer, what is the candy we're asking the Lord for? Bless us, Lord. Bless this nation. What does that even mean? Bless this nation. See, the scripture says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end result is death and destruction. God bless America. Bless us with what? And what would a blessing look like? Do we specifically target our prayers? Do the literally millions of people around the world, around America specifically today, are they praying targeted prayers? Lord, return our schools to Christianity. Lord, destroy the forces of darkness that are bringing this demonic, homosexual, deviant spirit. Lord, Lord, restore marriages. Lord, restore, help us restore purity to our children. Lord, give me that piece of candy, Lord. Lord, get rid of all the thieves and the cowards and the skunks in our government. Lord! But then something amazing is going to have to happen. The Lord already said you could have all those things. He already said all power is given unto him both in heaven and earth. He said it's all yours. All authority is yours. You know what the problem is? Nobody will reach in and grab the piece of candy. They want the Lord to pick it for them, open it for them, and put it in their mouth. And he says, I don't even know which kind of candy you want. So this all comes back to vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where we don't know specifically what it is, where we're going, what we're going to do, how will we know when we are there? If we don't know where we are going, how do we know when we arrive? And when you get up in the morning, like today, Michelle and I have to go speak at the National Day of Prayer. It's going to take me about 90 minutes to get down there, maybe a little bit less than 90 minutes. Michelle's got to run a few errands before we do that. We are even right now today mapping out our day. We didn't just get up in the morning, sit down at the kitchen table, get out our Bible and get a cup of coffee and say, okay, Lord, now bless my day. We didn't do it. We have the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord orders his steps. We have ordered out our day. And we've asked God then to specifically bless what it is we're going to do this day. But the church retreats inside the church, and we pray for direct. We have directionless, unbelieving prayers. Most of them pray not in faith, but in doubt. And as Larry has taught us a number of times, those little words, it's those little words that make all the difference in the prayer, in the Bible, all those little words. It is faith, not in God, but faith towards God. You say, Coach, so what are you saying today, Coach? I'm saying this. Faith without works is dead. And we are trying to live out what I believe to be pre-written history. We believe, but we spend most of our times stargazing, looking at the signs, the church I'm talking about now, not all of us, not all the individuals, the church in general, looking at the signs and saying, yep, there it is. Things are only going to get worse. Look around. Things are getting worse. And making absolutely no attempt to do anything about it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now I'm gonna crack you in the teeth with this one too. I'm going to Strong's Concordance. Let me see, Jared, where it was. I just lost it. Where there is no vision. Vision. What an interesting word that is. Because it was Helen Keller, blind Helen Keller, who said, there's nothing as common. There's nothing as common with people who, there is nothing as common as people who have sight yet have no vision. Those are not the same thing. Vision vision, seeing beyond, I'm trying to get this to work, seeing beyond our natural consequences, seeing beyond what we believe or have been taught to believe. Vision is seeing what, seeing in the present and understanding how that applies long term. And the Lord said, book of Proverbs, that if you don't have a long term vision, if you don't know where you're going, how in the world do you know when you get there? If you're playing football and there was no end zone, how do you know when you've scored? How do you know when you're done? Because the church doesn't know what the scoreboard is, they don't have the no vision, they can't see where they are heading, we are what? We've thrown up our arms and asked, well, it's just going to get worse. Jesus is coming. We win in the end. Who am I to sit here and tell you when Jesus is going to return? He said, no man knows the day or the hour. He said, yeah, coach, but it's all lining up in the Bible. It's all lining up the way exactly the Bible said it. And you can follow this horse and that horse. And it's all the signs are right there. That's true. It is true. But what would be our response? If you're on a long trip, if you're going to go on a long trip like I did last week, and I went to Hillary Clinton's house and drove those 8 hours over and 8 hours. Folks, I didn't stop 10 miles from her house and say, well, this is close enough. I'll just coast from here. Because I'll get there in the end. Why do we apply that to our faith walk? Doesn't make any sense. So if there's a theme of this show, not just this show, but this my show in general, if there's a theme to this Google Hangout thing, if there's a theme to it all, it is this. Why don't we believe what we say we believe? Why don't we act like we believe what we say we believe? Well, we are in a way, aren't we? Those who believe the end is near, what are they doing? Nothing. Perishing. Taking their hands off of it, saying, oh, well, oh, well. Yeah, I know the paint's going to peel, but that old house isn't going to stand forever anyway. That's been our attitude. I'm going to wrap up the show. I'm not going to go just because we're supposed to go for an hour. Sorry for the technical difficulties we had today. Miss the give and take that we have in here every week, every day, but not the chance to be able to do it. Pray that if you go to a National Day of Prayer today, I get to go be one today. And what is the title of my talk? Has the salt lost his savor? Going to do my best. I'd go try to train Michelle how to live Facebook it. So maybe you guys will be able to catch my presentation there in downtown St. Clairsville, Ohio. I'm going to rock the boat on them today. Try to sharpen their vision. To try to make a difference right where they live. Ultimately, that's all we can do. Appreciate you being with us. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We'll get her straightened out and have all of you in the queue here with us tomorrow. Coach Dave signing off. Pray for us. We'll see you tomorrow.